radio, and the internet.
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to The Power of the Human Spirit on TalkZone.com. Let's get back to your host, best-selling author and nationally recognized speaker, Paul J. Wedding.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Pastor, we have a few more minutes. We'll probably have to take this into another show in a couple of weeks, but let's use what time we have today. Okay, I have another email question for you, Pastor, and this comes from Cheyenne in Worcester, Massachusetts. Okay. She wants to know if God will start over once all the bad people are gone. Now, hold on one second here, Pastor. Maybe the ownership and management of the Detroit Lions would be better left to answer this. Come on now. After all, you know, they blow things up every year and start all over, don't they?
Oh, my. You know, that's we won't even get into that. You know, me being originally from Texas, we won't even get it because every time you say Detroit Lions, I think about the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, God. I'm not making fun of your question here, Cheyenne and Worcester, but
not at all.
You have a team called the New England Patriots, and you guys reload instead of rebuild. Anyway, all right, 15 yards, delay a game on me. Anyway, Pastor, does God start over?
You know what? The only time that we know that he started over is through the flood back in Noah. And, of course, he promised us, he gave us that wonderful promise that he's not going to do that again until he returns again. Now, there are some different theological standpoints of that, which we just don't have time to get into. But the word is very clear that when he comes back again, when all of time comes to an end, he is going to come back as reigning king, as that's going to be the end. And it's going to be a great time for those of us who really know him. But he's not going to start again. Now, it may seem like he should in some ways, and it may seem like that that there's going to be times, once again, I'm sure that people back during World War II, they probably thought, and there's no probably about it, many of them thought, you know, this is the end of the world. So many people were being killed. Even some writings back in the Civil War during our country, so many people were being killed, brother against brother. And I'm sure people thought back then, you know, this is it. God's just going to wipe us all out. But there's nothing, you know, scripturally that says he's just going to start completely over again.
Yeah, it's almost like God is looking down at us and saying, you know, I gave you a nice universe, I gave you a nice planet, and look what you did with it.
Yeah.
For those who are not familiar with the book of Revelations, and we have about 5 minutes left in our segment, can you talk about what the book says as it relates to the world today, Pastor?
You know, there's a lot of opinions on the book of Revelation, and it's probably, in my opinion, one of the most difficult books to talk about, to preach on. I preached on it about a year ago. I would just encourage people to read a wide variety of things concerning the book of Revelation. You know, I'm reminded of John MacArthur, who is he's a famous pastor out on the West Coast, and he and, you know, I do not agree with everything that Pastor MacArthur says, but one of his books describing the book of Revelation, he was quoting Winston Churchill, who once described the former Soviet Union as a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma.
Wow.
And, you know, that's quite a statement, but that's the way that many Christians see the book of Revelation, because it has a lot of symbolism in it. It has a lot of imagery in it. You know, many believers and even students of the Word and pastors, they just try to avoid even studying it. But, you know, to ignore the book, it's a part of God's Word, and it needs to be studied. One of the things that I encourage people to do, first of all, is to read the first few chapters, because it talks about the church. It has different churches, and God has different encouragements, and he has different warnings to the church. Back then, the church in churches in biblical times, and the church today. One of the things that we overlook, though, about the book of Revelation is we complicate it, but we forget about its simplicity. And that is, in the first chapter of the first verse, it says this. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place." Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we forget that it's just another book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, God, once again, is just trying to reveal to us Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has for us. And one of my favorite verses is at the end when he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone opens the door, I will come into him and be with him, and he will be with me." I mean, that's a wonderful promise in his word. And then at the very, very end of the book, the writer, John, says, "Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." That's the way the book ends. And the most important thing right now, because I know our time is limited, but the most important thing when it comes to the book of Revelation, It's an old worn-out saying, but it still holds true. I've read the back of the book, and we win. It's the very last book of the Bible. That is, you know, when it comes to all of these things, we do not have to worry. We do not have to fear. We've read the back of the book, and you know what? God is triumphant. And as long as we know him, we have nothing, I mean literally nothing, to fear or to worry about. And that's why we're back to what I said at the beginning of the program. That's why Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. Believe in me."
Well said, Pastor AC. I am getting the signal that our time on this segment is ending. I want to say thanks for making time for us, and let's do it again real soon, Pastor AC.
You're welcome. I'll be happy to.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, moving onward. My next guest was an all-conference football center on the varsity football team where he attended school. After graduation, went on to work for an advertising agency, and after 18 months was handling the firm's largest account, U.S. Airways. 6 years later, he went into business with his brother David, forming the Martin Agency. They were named the hottest ad agency in the country by Adweek, boasting such clients as Geico Auto Insurance, Gecko and the Caveman, which has brought a lot of laughs to all of us, as well as UPS and Walmart. After selling his interest in the agency, he went on to pursue his passion for digging into and unraveling life's mysteries, defining his purpose as delighting, enlightening, and entertaining seekers by revealing the truth about life on Earth. Four of his titles have won him top book awards, as well as awards from USA Books. Aside from being a best-selling author, he is the number one talk show host on the internet for seekers. His book, The Truth, is one that I highly recommend you read. My guest is Stephen Martin. Stephen, it is great to have you on the program. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it is an absolute pleasure. Stephen, before we get started, how can people get your book and see what other things you got going on, sir?
Probably the best way is to go to my website, which is really easy to remember. It's shmartin.com, shmartin.com, and we've got a special right there on the recent homepage, and we've also, you know, click on recent releases, and you'll see The Truth, and all you got to do is click through from there, and you can buy the book if you'd like.
It's a fantastic book, Stephen, and
well, I certainly appreciate that.
How long did this book write? It was incredible. It really was.
How long did it, I'm sorry, I missed part of that. How long did what?
How long did this book take to write?
Oh, okay. You know, this book really just poured out of me. I interviewed a gentleman on my show that kind of triggered something. His name was Stephen Browdy. He's written a book about his explorations into psychic phenomena. And after interviewing him, I thought, you know, this is the key here that I need for this next book I'm going to write. And when I got started on it, I would say I went through it in just a few weeks to kind of have it just pour out of me. It was all building up over a period of years, I think, and just that trigger set it off, and it was like I was possessed almost. I just kept writing, and out it came, and it's gotten wonderful reviews. People seem to like it, so I think it was meant to be.
Yep, and as readers, we are certainly the lucky ones because it is truly a book that I believe everybody should get a copy of and definitely read as well. Now, in my book, I talk about a battle that is taking place in everybody, and nobody is immune to it. It's not a battle of right and wrong or some dark force competing with God for our soul, but it's a battle of ego and spirit. And because of the rewards or consequences, it's the most important decision that we're going to make. Now, is ego playing a part in what is being described in 2012, Stephen?
Well, it certainly is. I mean, our ego self is our small self, if you will. And it really has only one thing in mind, and that's its own survival. Our ego is but our ego is not us, really. Our ego is just the current manifestation, maybe the personality of this particular life, but we have something that's much bigger called the soul, and once we can get in touch with that, and you do that through daily meditation and so forth, and once you get in touch with that, then you can overcome those ego urges that tend to lead us all into trouble and to lead society into trouble. And as far as 2012 goes, I think that battle is what's going on, but not, as you said, between good and evil, but between looking out for number one, that attitude, which is the ego attitude, and the attitude that we're all part of this, we're all in it together, we're all one. And once we realize that and start acting that way, we can really have a wonderful, wonderful world to live in.
Earlier in the program, I was discussing some of the failed predictions. But in the scenario of 2012, many are pointing to the date as either the end of time or, you know, an awakening of consciousness, so to speak. How have so many arrived at this date and year, Stephen?
How have we arrived at that particular date?
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah. I guess the biggest single thing pointing toward it is the Mayan calendar. Everybody's familiar with that. That's the Mayans were absolutely fantastic astronomers. They could predict eclipses thousands of years ahead with precision accuracy. And they developed a calendar that was quite phenomenal, and their calendar ends on December 21st, 2012. So the Mayans believed, apparently, that the world, and I think you have to add the words as we know it, will end on that date and that year. There are other predictions that seem to point to 2012. The I Ching of Ancient China, which is a book of prophecies and a book of wisdom, but it's also used for fortune telling. When you apply a calendar to that, and there was a fellow who did that, you come out with 2012, actually December 21st, 2012.
Wow.
Also as the end of the world. And then there's a computer program on the internet called the Web Bot. It's been used, it's used really for predicting stock market changes, but it also apparently has predicted a number of other things like 9/11 and Katrina and so forth. And it also comes up with 2012 as something earth-shattering going to happen that year. And then there are a lot of general kind of prophecies that would seem to put some catastrophic event or world-ending event in the neighborhood of the early 21st century, you know, like Nostradamus and Edgar Casey and Merlin of Camartha, and then, you know, a whole long laundry list of them. So
right.
2012 seems to be it. I mean, when you talk to people, you'll have some say, well, it's going to happen over a longer period of time, or it's that date might be off somewhat, and who knows, it may be, but it seems to be headed that way.
I totally agree with you there. It just seems, well, we're coming up on a break. It just seems like we're doing everything we possibly can to bring this date into reality. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to have more with Stephen Martin, so don't go anywhere. You're in the zone, talkzone.com.